when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yo guys, welcome to The Last Lap. Don't forget to drop a lovely, juicy 5-star rating if you're watching on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Hope you enjoy, and let's get into it.
Welcome back to The Last Lap Podcast, everyone.
Yeah,
it's
man.
It's a pleasure. I almost missaid the word lap as well.
Yeah.
Wow. That's how you know it's an early start.
Yeah. So, you know, it's currently, it's 22 minutes past nine.
Yep.
We've just watched the Australian Grand Prix live. Yeah. Feel free to check out the VOD if you want to live it all back, because it was certainly a race of attrition for our minds.
A lot went on.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah.
All that pressure that hat was putting on my head. Now
it's freed.
It's focused all the words that were there.
The knowledge is back. Cam, Yasha, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Glad to be here. Are we just pretending we're fine? Or
you are fine.
Not
we're out of our fits.
Yeah.
We've gone back to normal clothes.
Okay, cool. Normal clothes, normal pros.
I've been awake for 25 hours.
Oh, okay.
That's this not fancy dress, is it? I thought that was fancy dress.
There's always that hat.
If you're if you're watching audio only, you haven't got to witness. Yeah, your collection of jackets are pretty out there, actually. No?
Yeah, it's a bit outrageous, to be honest with you.
Yeah, man.
Should I scale it down?
I respect. Just turn the light
on when you leave the house.
It looks pretty flammable. So,
What does that mean?
Well, I feel like
are you going to set fire to me?
You just go up like a Christmas tree. Man.
Yeah, well, no, there's enough alcohol on me to be.
True. You've struggled through the night. I've got about 3 hours kip. How much kip did you get, Campbell?
About 3 hours as well.
Nice stuff, everyone.
What about you? You went about 10,
I had
didn't
a
you?
Solid like 5.5 hours. Oh,
Yeah, flex.
Five and a half hours.
Clearly.
A man who got 0 hours of sleep.
Clearly it's not enough.
I had 5.5 hours sleep. Yeah. And then I came here with a cup of tea in a flask thinking this will be a professional production. And
nothing
around here. Think such a thing?
We've had a few dizzies and cokes. But look, big up everyone at home watching and listening. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, trust.
Apologies to any Australians out there who have no sympathy.
Yeah.
They do this every week.
Is it really worth it?
I don't know how they... Honestly, that is like...
True fans.
And I think that shows... We were talking on the VOD about like the vibes in Melbourne.
I think
it shows because they have to wake up and they're super dedicated to this sport. It shows that when it comes and they're able to experience it in real time, you see the queues of people waiting for signatures.
Yeah.
You see like the vibes there. Everyone says that Melbourne is one of the best races to go to if you're going to go to a Grand Prix. And yeah, I would... Now I understand it, because if I had to wake up at this time every other business week, I would be gassed to see the cars.
It would be a wrap.
I would have acne all over my face.
Yeah. Eczema sprouting up all over the gap.
You look at the finishing order: Verstappen P1, Hamilton P2, Alonso P3. You might be forgiven for thinking it. You know,
it's a bit bland.
But anything but. And I mean, by the time this podcast comes out, we'll know. We're still not sure.
Yeah,
we know Haas are appealing the decision.
The order could be anything, lads. I'll be honest with you.
The decision to restart the race. I mean, it's complicated, isn't it? That's the thing. To restart the race but not go racing.
Yeah.
On the final lap, boys. Let's talk about it. What do we think should have happened, I guess.
Do you want me to start it easy? Should we start things off easy?
Well, so let's explain.
Fuck the FIA.
Wait, that's,
them.
That's easy.
That's easy. That's yeah. easy. We'll start things off mellow.
This is what happens when you have no sleep for more than 24 hours.
24 hours.
Cussing everyone.
Calling everyone out.
I wish I could blame that. Like, yeah. That's just like me in a normal
this is
day.
Just generally, yeah, yeah.
But no.
Do you want well, a look, Tuesday
had,
afternoon?
So we had Kevin Magnussen randomly driving into the wall, seemingly yeah. unsighted.
It's always K-Mag. We said this on the show, one. Like, Kevin Magnussen just seems to know when he needs to become a paid actor.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
he needs to just go, you know what, lads, I'm fucking bored right now. I'm going to make shit energy. Happen. And just he does.
Loves the attention, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
It's like, oh, I'll just lose concentration for a second.
I'll lose concentration. Yeah.
Very weird accident, but it brought out the red flag. Yeah, there's loads of debris on the track, yeah. which, I mean, fair enough. And we got two laps. Well, we thought we'd get two laps, yeah. two sprint laps at the end. And then big shunt. Loads of people out. Yeah, only 11
Debris,
cars.
Sargent, both Alpines. Yeah.
I don't think we've seen...
Alonso and Stroll spun as well.
Yeah. Perez off.
The way Sargent went into the back.
DeVries, yeah. Just,
that felt like a mission as well, yeah. didn't it? Yeah. Like...
I think we haven't had that many people out. Do you remember Bologna? Bologna.
Bologna Grand Prix.
Serie A.
Which one was? Yeah. Which one was the Grand Prix?
Mugello.
Thank you.
Oh yeah. Whatever.
Remember Mugello? Thank you. Bologna.
Bologna.
I am Brust. do you remember? Yeah, Marinello. Yeah.
Mugello.
In the safety car restart, and everyone kind of blamed Bottas for like backing everyone up until the start finish
yeah.
line.
Yeah,
and
it felt like that sort of accident.
It was like that many sort of. People going out at the same time, and it was like an honestly, I did. Yeah, like I said, we haven't seen a safety car restart like that since then. But. Yeah. It was a weird situation. We were all in here thinking, okay, once we got the information that they were going to take it back to the original starting grid from the standing start before the accident happened, we thought that, okay, that means we're going to get an extra lap because if you're going to take it back to that and act as if nothing happened,
yeah, you got to take
then
it. Yeah,
we can't then. Start.
Why would you count the lap?
Why would you count the lap? And it just felt very confusing as F1 fans to be sat there watching it, and you're adding a lap, but you're taking away the advantages people have got from the mess ups that have happened, you know, rightly or wrongly. And then if you have messed up, or you know, and you're able to get your car back and get enough nick to complete one lap, you're then essentially being gifted like several places.
Yeah, well, yeah. Basically what happened was like they acted as if the lap didn't happen, because what we ended up with at the end of that fucking crazy restart was what? Like Hülkenberg was P4,
yeah.
Tsunoda was P5, Alonso and Stroll binned it, whatever. So they acted as if none of that happened by resetting it to what we were before, which was having Alonso and Stroll high up the order, and then said, actually, nah, but we've done that lap, though, so we're just going to wrap it up here.
And also,
which doesn't make sense, combining those two things together.
But also with Carlos, didn't he still get the...
So if you're going to act as if none of that lap didn't happen and take it back to the start, you can't give Carlos a penalty, in my opinion. Yeah. I don't see, because Alonso didn't even lose anything in the end.
Well, yeah, because Carlos got the penalty for taking out Alonso,
yeah,
but then Alonso
still finished third. Yeah.
So it's like, which one is it?
Yeah.
It's not like consistency.
Yeah.
No. And that's the thing. It's one of those instances where, again, it feels like this specific chain of events isn't written word for word in the regulations, so they have
facts.
They have to go to the regs and
they remixed everything,
and because everyone's got a vested interest, that's why Haas are pushing for it. Because with the Carlos Sainz penalty, you know, Hülkenberg would have got P3.
Yeah, exactly.
If they'd have kept it as it was.
Yeah, and where did he finish in the end? Was it seventh in the end?
P7 in the end, yeah. Because of the Sainz penalty, but he could. Hulk could be on the podium, like, yeah. And we still
that's
got
a no. massive
and
difference.
You called
him
a fraud as well.
No,
I don't actually. I don't think I actually.
I think there's receipts.
There's definitely tapes. There's many tapes where I think he's a fraud.
Insert them.
Yeah, I would like to take it back.
I guess it's one thing to and look. We've had this plenty of times in the history of the sport where the race has finished under safety car, but at the end of the day, it's like. When there's such a clear and obvious alternative solution where we could have got a racing lap still, it just feels like it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
I remember, was it Monza? I remember when Ricciardo broke down towards the end and it finished under safety car. It was like annoying, but you were like, well, they're not going to be able to recover the car in time. So like, I mean, fair enough.
It just made sense.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It was one of those where I was like, I'll accept shit,
that.
But
this is harder to accept for me.
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure.
Because I feel like there's a solution that could.
And I think what's exacerbated it this time is, I think, you know, we said on the VOD, like Silverstone last year when Joe had his accident. Mm. And they basically, I think the reason they used was that, they didn't go through enough timing sectors or whatever by the time the red flag came. So I guess because that was the first lap, everyone's like, okay, it doesn't matter if we lose one lap. But like at this point, because we've literally lost essentially like a race within a race, it's kind of brought up the fact. And also, because no one had been able to, I mean, Lewis Hamilton lost out on like gaining two places that time, right?
Yeah.
People did lose out then, but I think it's more exacerbated this time because
it's the final finish.
Yes, the final thing, and there was so much that happened, and then there was so much potential for an incredible showdown.
Yeah.
So if you're going to apply penalties and if you're going to reset the grid, it just doesn't make sense for you to then say, okay, we're going to finish under safety car. But this is, like you say, something that's been happening again and again and again and again. You know, look at Suzuka last year and look at other instances, like Abu Dhabi, whatever. But it feels like in 2023, a sport that's been going since, I don't know, 1950, whenever, we don't have a handle on the regulations in a time when we have all the information possible.
The thing is, F1 is bare complicated.
So yeah,
I know that definitely it's hard to like go, right, cool, we're gonna decide what happens from it. It's not like football where you can just go, that's foul, that's offside. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that sort of like, there's so many rules and regs to F1, I get that. But surely this highlights a gap in the regs where they've got to go, okay, this doesn't actually make sense. Like, logically speaking, it doesn't make sense to go back but also not go back at the same time.
Yeah, that's why...
It's just confusing for new fans.
Yeah, that's why I said in the live stream, it's like the only saving grace of this is that it's happened the third race of the season, because imagine if this was, like, for another title decider.
Oh, my God, yeah, would imagine.
Yeah, so hopefully in a time when it does have more impact, they will have it in set in stone what it actually would be the outcome of it.
No, 100%. You've hit the nail on the head with a hammer. Like, it's just really confusing. Like I say, at a time when we've got all these new fans coming in, and us as people, you know, people who've watched it for a while are still a bit confused. If people are confused at the track, and if people are confused here as content creators, how are you, as someone who maybe just watched Drive to Survive like a month ago?
Yeah.
And now watching this, and you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, if you're going to make stuff for the show, like the red flags when maybe we could have had a safety car go around whilst they were fixing that barrier. If you're going to do things for the show, let's do things for the show all the time. Mm-hmm. Let's not do things for the show sometimes and then not do things for the show other times. And it's just, we need consistency, and that's the issue.
Yeah, consistency is the key thing, isn't it? It's knowing what to actually expect so that everyone, because everyone's playing, you know, everyone wants to play by the same rule book, and every team's going to push for, you know, has to push in for this to change what happened, because obviously they benefit from it. And that wouldn't be the only, like AlphaTauri would benefit massively because Yuki would get a P4.
Tsunoda would have gone from P10 to P4.
Yeah. So you can't trust the teams not to, you know, they're always going to have their best interest in mind. So it's like, part of it is, like you say, Niren, the sport's so complicated. Can you write in words that every single specific, circumstances coming together?
Probably not.
Can you write it in an open way that everyone's up for interpretation? Well, I don't think you can really do that either, because then, you know, every single time you've got an incident like this, well, you're going to get differences in opinion.
But what you can do is at least give yourself a chance by doing things that make sense.
Mm.
The decision that they made just makes no sense.
No,
I agree. There's no sort of, but we didn't really have a situation for this, because as a law, it just doesn't actually add up to go, cool, we're going to take things back, but actually we're going to just run the lap as if it happened anyway.
Like, it would have been simpler to just be like, right, okay,
scrap that, let's just go back,
that lap,
and just run it again.
Done.
Boom. Yeah. That would have been so much easier. And everyone would have gone, okay, that makes sense.
Because
the drivers and teams would have understood that, because it would have been like, right, everyone's
the
back
fans,
to level playing
like you
field.
Say, like the fans would have understood that.
Yeah, yeah.
That
exactly.
would have been clearer to us.
And it's better from like an entertainment standpoint. I know that's not the first, yeah. like, it's obviously the rules are first, but just for everyone watching, like, the race at the start was like, oh my God. Then in the middle, we were like, and then the first red flag, we were like, this is it.
Mm.
And then the second red flag was such an underwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, it just killed it, didn't it?
Mm. It did.
Like, we waited for half an hour.
Because we were literally like, oh, yeah, this is a 10 out of 10 race. This is sick. Oh, my God. And then we waited for half an hour, and it was just like,
and they just finished on the... We were like, well, what was the point in waiting that long?
I guess they were sort of... They wanted to go out. I think if Science hadn't had the penalty, I think they would have just sacked it and just been like, all right, we'll call it there. But I feel like they had to go out just in case Science still got...
I guess they had to finish the race, because someone might argue, if you finish it now, okay, what if someone breaks down on the way to you've got to finish the race and classify it. But like, it doesn't, like we said, it doesn't matter how if the regulations are written in a way where it doesn't state that you need to start on the lap where you're taking the grid back to, then that's a major oversight. That, I'm sure what will happen, as has happened with the touching cars during a penalty. Like, I'm sure they'll rectify it for the next race, and hopefully, I guess we won't see it again, but at this present moment in time, we've been robbed of a potential classic.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's just, you know, it's a bit of a damp squib, unfortunately.
Well, especially for you with Hamilton just coming in.
Look.
He said he would cry if Hamilton won.
Yeah, I was here for that. I was so ready.
Imagine.
Because I think it would have happened.
But it could have happened. Like, do you mean, like, another set of softs, another start procedure? Look, we don't know. Alonso could have won it. Like, it was literally a one lap shootout. You had to do was essentially get into the first corner first.
Yeah, and that's it.
Well,
that's why we had all the chaos in first restart.
Yeah, because it's a mad dash, because everyone knows, oh, like, this is an opportunity. Especially if you're the team towards the back.
Yeah.
It's like you have to go all in for it.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. That's what Sargent did by punting De Vries off.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, go for it. The back end.
I'm not pressing the brakes no matter what.
Fuck this, mate. I'm going into turn one flat.
Like, the Gasly Ocon one's mad, though. Like, that was such an opportunity for big points for Alpine. Yeah.
Civil War, man.
You know what? Because they're pink, it really did remind me of. Do you remember in Baku where Sergio and Ocon kind of came together?
Yeah. Many a time.
Isn't there a time where Ocon hasn't actually hit his teammate?
Well, this one wasn't on him.
It wasn't.
Like, I've seen some people saying Ocon shouldn't have looked for the outside.
Nah, that's
like,
mental.
What?
It was definitely Gasly's fault.
It was definitely
Gasly's fault.
100%.
He was off the track. It's your job to rejoin safely.
Now, obviously, I get like Magnussen, like, I think you could see the sun was quite low there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're still responsible for the car that's in your
hand. You're responsible.
Just slap some sunglasses on. Do you know what I mean? put the visor down.
Ray Bans.
the little sunblock on.
Yeah, they sponsor Ferrari. Ferrari sponsored by that.
Yeah, exactly. Car, it's fine.
I can afford that.
No, that's, you know, but the thing is, that's been, not even that it's been brewing, but we've all been waiting for that first kind of flashpoint between Gasly and Ocon. And the fact that it was Gasly as the aggressor, I think, is probably worse than if it was Ocon the aggressor, because he's the guy who's new in the team.
He's trying
to, like, assert his authority. They both know that they both need to be top dog of that team, because at the end of the contract cycle, like, if they're not the top dog, they're most likely to be replaced. So it's doggy dog. And look, that's not going to be the last time that we see something. It's not just such a howl
for Alpine. Like, Gasly was literally fifth all race.
Mm.
Like, keeping up with, like, the Astons. He was ahead of Stroll the whole race.
Doing bits.
He was just behind Science the whole time.
Yeah.
To then just fuck it with two laps to go. And then
well, they're behind McLaren in the constructors now. McLaren went from last to fifth.
Yeah.
Absolute howler.
Yeah, no.
If there's one person you can avoid as well, he's in a fucking pink car.
It's a good point.
It's not
one
hard.
Person, yeah. Don't need sunglasses for that. It's like, you know what I mean?
It's a bright pink car. I'm right here. Like, how could you miss? Because that's the thing. It's like, you look at constructors now. Williams have gone back to bottom.
Well, Albon. The OG bottler, if we're being honest with you.
I can't believe that's the same ring.
Mate, that genuinely feels like 3 days, feels like, honestly.
That was like 5 or 6 Disney.
Yeah. It actually was, though, as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. Literally was like 5 or 6 Disney ago. And like, I remember us all thinking, you know what? Because we've all praised Albon. What a qualifying performance.
What a race. He was 6th as well.
And like, you know, he was 6th. Like, 6th for Williams. And look, we don't know. If he'd stayed in that race, obviously his red flag kind of caused a lot of the stuff. So
yeah, but you don't know the butterfly effect.
Yeah, exactly. But at least 6th is on the table there, because you're essentially best of the rest. And, you know, Russell's gone and
yeah, because he was what? So he was behind. He was ahead of Gasly.
Yeah, so I think he's 6th with Russell still there. So he could have been 5th. If you know, if everything shakes out properly, so it's a big opportunity you miss from that. And to be fair, it's not something that we've seen from him since. I mean, even in the Red Bull days,
I don't remember him
dropping it. I remember him being very like off the pace, but I don't remember him just dropping it like that.
Yeah. And
for him to drop it like that, and look, we saw his face in the pit lane during the safety car.
He knew.
Because
this is the type of race he could have finished like fucking
third. I think all these teams towards the bottom know that this is an opportunity.
Big points. Like, you know, that, and that's for a team like Williams to get like 5th. What's the points in 5th? Like, so,
10.
Yeah. So like for a team like Williams to get 10 points in one race when, you know, you're normally fighting for 1 or 2 points.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's
like,
huge.
That's like huge.
5 races.
Yeah, right, like, yeah, exactly, like, right?
You can have 5 double DNA.
Yeah.
Well, that's why Hassan AlphaTauri will be pushing for, you know, a P3 and P4 for their drivers to be in state. Because again, that, like, when you look at the end of the season, you come back to this, and there's not much. We talked about this kind of, you got the top 4 teams that are clear.
Yeah.
So on pace, that top 8 should be pretty well accounted for.
Yeah.
And even Alpine are like seemingly pretty comfortable 5th. So it's like, to get any points is going to be a struggle. And obviously you got what? Joe managed to get points now.
Yeah.
Sonoda got a point in the end.
Yeah.
Obviously both McLarens. Like,
yeah.
And to be fair, the pace wasn't like, you know, Lando was making moves through the field.
Was Piastri like 11th the whole race?
Yeah, he fell back a little bit.
Yeah, he was there or there.
He was doing okay.
He just got, you know, lucky at the end.
I think McLaren definitely needed this going into, because they've definitely been the easy team to dunk on, haven't they?
Yeah,
at the start of this year.
Even just getting your first point on the board kind of just takes that pressure.
Yeah,
because when they dead last,
they were dead.
Yeah,
last,
yeah,
they were dead.
It was them and Williams. No, it was them and them on their
them
own.
And AlphaTauri on
the them and AlphaTauri. Yeah, 0 points. Which is, I mean, for a team like McLaren.
Oh, man, look how, I mean, it's dark there, which shows, like, how long that race was.
It was literally a war of attrition.
Yeah.
Like,
because we literally 100%. Started at 6 and didn't finish till 9. And I know that very well.
Yeah. See it in your eyes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we kept it going, though.
We kept it going.
Also, extreme by far.
You see, obviously, you know, Max's performance was pretty much to be, well, George moved up the inside.
It's again, to feels like 6 days ago.
Yeah, it's easy to forget. Like, George was in was leading this
great
race.
Start, wasn't it?
And then engine goes pop. And obviously he got unlucky with that red flag as well.
To be honest,
it's actually better that he retired.
Yeah.
Because imagine if he'd not, and he just lost, like, the lead
off
the back of a red flag. Yeah. At least he retired, and it was like, well, it would have blown up anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think that's the thing, that we're talking about the butterfly effect with, like, Albon going and that causing George to pit, and then him coming in.
Yeah.
But there would have been a situation where, like I said, George would have, maybe his engine could have cut out from the lead, and that would have felt hot. For Mercedes and for George, like, that would have felt horrible. Obviously, if it's going to cut out, it's going to cut out. But in a 1-2 situation, potentially, because it didn't cut out that long after we restarted.
Yeah, it was just like 3 laps.
So, you know, it's a shame. But I think, look, Mercedes can be really encouraged by this race in terms of just the fact that they were able to keep the Aston Martins at bay very easily, I would say. Like, as much as Lewis complains about his tyres and that, like, you know, he's always just, I guess, voicing his frustration. But he was able to gap Alonso to, like, between 1.1 and...
Yeah, Alonso was close, but he never broke that.
Lewis was just kind of controlling it.
Yeah, he was controlling it. So for Mercedes to get from a point where Alonso essentially overcut them in Bahrain to being in a position where on equal tires they were essentially able to like keep the gap. That's big progress. But you know, it could be very circuit specific.
Yeah, like, I think also like credit to Max as well, because it's like so easy to put it down to like, oh, he's got the fastest car, which he does, but also like he could have lost his head, you know, when it was a 1-2 Mercedes and he just came back
after the second restart, the first restart after Albon, he was still behind Lewis.
Exactly.
Well.
Yeah. I mean,
he was actually defending from Fernando, you know, a little bit of a poor start, but he didn't lose his head. He sort of.
Yeah, he just got past him. But I think because it during that point, he could be like, oh shit, what the fuck? Because, you know, he was saying, he was complaining about something on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Lewis pushed him off.
Yeah, Lewis pushed him off. But then he got it back and he was like, he just got him on the straight. And I just think, still, like, I just think Max is just mentally just so ahead at the minute as well.
Yeah, facts.
As well as his car.
I think the context, because if that was 2021, for example, he would have fought two for now to keep that position. And it's like, I think it's important, you know, when you're in a car that is strong, you don't have to, you know, go all or nothing. Like, again, exactly. Lewis and George were saying before the race, like, they're going to go full risk because you feel like you have to. When you know you've got a car disadvantage, when you can just okay, you can go past. I'll just make P3, and then I'll rely on the pace to then make my way back through.
He's like playing like chess, isn't he? He's just kind of buying the long time, just kind of being like, look, you can have 8 laps in front of us. What was it? And then I'll just soon pass you for the rest of the race.
Yeah, because when Max did get the move done on Lewis, eventually it was pretty comfortable, wasn't it?
I mean,
he grew 2 seconds in a sector. He passed him and gapped him by 2 seconds.
Like, do you know how mad that is? That is like, and I think this is what I'm trying to say in terms of like, yes. 2014, I think everyone points to Bahrain when...
But no one else tried. I'm not going to lie, with 2014, it was kind of like, Mercedes were dominant, but like no one else actually tried. Ferrari came with a bathtub that season. Everyone was just like, we'll leave it till next year. It's fine.
No, because they realised. I just, honestly, we're looking at a season like 2 seconds in a sector or two.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Is... crazy. And then the thing is, we don't even actually have party modes or anything this year, so what he's doing is literally just like conserving like pace from where it, like he's just going around slower on his own, by his own volition. He's just going around slower and able to gap like, I think it was like
he 10, got 10 in the end,
10 seconds, but you know, by the time we stopped again, so
and then he started just chilling out.
Yeah, he lost 3 seconds as well.
He went
on the graph.
Look, we said it. This guy was like, just like he was having a little continental breakfast in that car. He was like, you know what, you know, when you're just rolling around on Forza and you're like, oh, I'm winning up, spin the car. Let me just drive backwards for a bit, like, see what I can do. Like, it is crazy how quick that car is. And like I said, it's not, like I said, Max is an incredible driver. Red Bull are an incredible team. They've always been a great racing team, but the car now is like
actually
ridiculous. And we're looking at, look, we had it with Ferrari, we had it with Mercedes, and like, I've said this to Mercedes fans, like, we have to eat this, bro.
Yeah.
We have to eat this.
This is what you have.
Like, this is what we had. And like, when it was us, we weren't calling for changes to regulations. Like, all I would say is I would like it because I want it to be closer and I want everyone else to get closer. And we did have regulations to like put us back. But this season, nothing's going to change. So everything that happens this season, like, we just have to eat it, bro.
You know,
like,
what?
It's harsh. But like,
you're very similar to like Man United. That. Like, you know, you're at the top and now you're just trying to claw yourself back.
Right. Yeah, you've just got to firm it.
Yeah. You've just got to firm it. Like, you know, it's not nice. I think, like, but some people, it, like, right? You know, this might be your only sport that you watch. Like, I get it. Like, let me tell you now, I started watching Arsenal. We went a whole season unbeaten. Like, we didn't lose a game. I didn't even know what losing felt like. Let me tell you, I got acquainted with it in the next 20 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, and you, like, sometimes you just got to get acquainted with it. And
Flaminia, right?
Like, do you know what I mean? It's
I think he's going through the 5 stages of grief now, isn't he?
I'm becoming acceptance. So, like, I just,
but this is the thing. It's like, when we talk about... No, because like we talked about this on the live stream, like, you know, the idea of trying to nerf, trying to peg back the Red Bull car.
It punishes teams for being good. That's the thing. I think you can have those, you can have the regs of like sort of trying to like the accordion effect of like pushing everyone together. That's calm. That's different.
Yeah.
But when you just go, ah, yeah, this team's too good. Let me just slap that and just take that away from them. Well, then what's the point in being good? Because you'll just have something taken away from you
but via
the regulations. I know they've done that before, but I just don't agree
with
that.
It's like, what do you take?
Like, with Red Bull, yeah.
That's
now,
how would you
so well how would you do it?
Like, they're just
a wheel. Did you just say
a wheel? Hey, let them fucking Lewis Hamilton freewheel it. Like,
everything's just gonna run underneath, like,
Flintstones.
To be fair, that's how like Verstappen fans act. Like, Verstappen fans are like, like when it was Mercedes, like, oh, Lewis has just got the best car, he's only winning because of the best car. Like, Verstappen fans are like, oh my god, Verstappen's
so
like, the greatest ever. Like, they act like he's literally Fred Flintstone, like, running that car on his own. But no, like, what can you do? Like, how do you stop? Because they've got a great engine, their aero is great, their DRS is great.
That car is like, rapid in a straight line.
Their tyre deg is great.
Yeah.
They can run the car super low to the floor.
Operating windows
wide. Doesn't matter if it's a street circuit or if it's Bahrain or like whatever. Like, it is scary.
And it's also like
it's just sick.
You know when they're like, we see Max isn't really pushing at the start, like we're saying he's having a continental breakfast. If he appears to be too far ahead, that only gives more weight to nerf him.
Yeah.
So he kind of has to like chill out a little bit and be like, I'm winning, but I'm not winning by too much.
Yeah.
But also,
it was only 2 seconds left.
You know, if you're gapping the field by what we've seen, 20, 30 seconds, you can turn the engine down a little bit and you save a little bit of wear. So that's going to pay dividends in the long term because you're less likely to have engine issues.
Yeah.
But we know the AlphaTauri has the same engine and it's not. It's trash. You know what I mean? It's right at the back.
So that car,
that car's just aero. Aero's always been good Red with Bull. Like Red Bull.
Yeah,
like they've always been nailing aero. It's been like they were stuck with those Renault engines for ages, and then initially the Honda engines weren't great. And it's like, that's the thing. It's I get it. I understand it. It's frustrating. Like if you eliminate Red Bull from these first three races,
what a championship
we are, because everyone's getting it, like points, like everyone's got potential for points, like we've
the
got
battle
these...
for second's great. You've got Aston, Ferrari and Mercedes relatively equal.
But you
Depends
know what
on the track, and then you've got the fucking rest is just a free-for-all,
and if it's pure entertainment then sure, but it's sport, and part of it is that this happens in sport. This most seasons, if you look in the last 20 years, like most seasons have been like back-to-back championship wins for like teams. Obviously Mercedes, with obviously Rosberg getting his one as well. It's got like 8 years in a row, whatever it was. Constructors, like Red Bull, 4 years in a row, constructors. Obviously Brawn had that one off, but that was very unusual circumstances.
Exactly.
You had a bit of a, like 2007-08, you had a few different like jumping around, but then it was Ferrari before that, Renault a couple of years, but it's like, it always seems to come in clusters. And it was fine last year when Ferrari were just as if not quicker than Red Bull at the start of the season. But like they've dropped the bomb. Like they fucked up. Like Ferrari.
Leclerc's 10th in the championship.
I mean, Leclerc was unlucky today to get caught out.
Wasn't even that high up anyway. He was 8th at the time.
Science made some moves through, and then Science makes a fucking mistake again, which is not the first time he's done this. Like Australia last year, he just spun it in the gravel.
I was gonna say Imola, but that was Ricciardo's fault.
No, you just spun it on the gravel, didn't he? Yeah, through the quick.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I'm just looking at the standings now. You know, we're in a situation where Red Bull are the only team in triple figures. I think they're like 50 something points ahead, so maybe 48. So like it's just like. Look, Red Bull fans will say they've had to eat shit for like 8 years prior to 2021, where they were, you know, they you know, they had a shit engine, their team probably didn't nail, you know, the regulations as well as they probably could have or whatever. And like Mercedes did.
Max and Daniel crashing into each
Max
other.
Max and Daniel crashing, you know what I mean? Like they would say they had to eat that. And like, you know, we're at a situation now where, you know, from 2021, they've had a competitive car. How many times could you say that Red Bull have dropped like a strategy blunder. Like, really?
Yeah, not
they're solid,
like,
aren't they?
They're solid.
Literally, Brazil last year was like the only time.
Yeah, right.
And that gets forgotten because they've built up a good track record. Yeah. If that's Ferrari, everyone's jumping on them.
Yeah, because they just because they do it every week.
Because it's too expected.
So you know, you've got that, and I just think, yeah, look, this is. I think for a lot of F1 fans, look, you know, I'm older. I lived through Schumacher, you know, at Ferrari. I lived through Mercedes. You know, dominance isn't a new thing in F1.
No, it's not.
And also,
it's like, always just happens in every sport.
It happens. And like we said, like, if you came into the sport in 2021, which was your first season, it will not get better than that.
You are spoiled,
aren't like, you? You are spoiled. Yeah, like, let me tell you now.
I'm actually jealous of those people.
I'm so jealous. If you came into the sport and you had Hamilton versus Verstappen, like equal points, like, it's honestly, that is a madness.
No, I would hate to be that, because then there's no...
There's nowhere to go.
Yeah. No, in fact, it's already down.
But also...
At least we had a build-up. Yeah. We got to that. Yeah. It was like, yeah.
True, very true. Like, honestly, like, it's... this is F1. Sometimes there's boring races. Sometimes there's exciting races.
But that's sport, isn't it?
Like, that's sport, yeah.
And it's kind of like...
Sometimes you get 4-3, sometimes you get 0-0. Sometimes maybe good, sometimes...
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes...
Right, well, Kevin Magnussen, right? Pole, Brazil.
Yeah.
What made that so special was because that was so, like, he was in a Haas and he was nowhere. If every season you had every driver being able to compete for wins...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, on the face of it, you think, oh, that'd be sick. Like, everyone could potentially win. But actually, part of the story of sport... is the underdog. You would never get an underdog story if everyone was competitive. Like, I did a video about this, talking about, like, my ideal would be you've got three different cars with, again, probably lead drivers of each, and then them three fighting for a championship. Kind of what we had in 2010, really. Like, Lewis was somehow on the back of it with McLaren as well.
That kind of season, where
you've got that pool of, like, competitive at the front, and then everyone else, it's just a free-for-all for the rest of the points. Yeah. Like, we're not far, that's basically what we have now if Red Bull didn't exist.
Yeah, fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, again...
Which
I
get is, like, oh, if, but... Well,
I know, but it actually is.
If my nan was a bike, she...
I
think a lot of people do watch F1 not just for... the pole, like the number one. A lot of people do watch it for the mid kind of battles.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Like, that's probably my favorite part, is like seeing like who picks up maybe it's like 2 points or the 1 point kind of spot. And I think obviously Red Bull run away with it, but the rest of it is really close. And today, like, well, there was like four cars within like what, like 2-3 seconds towards the end.
I still cannot tell you who the fuck is the fifth quickest team on the grid at all at this point. Alpine, McLaren, Albon was sixth.
Yeah.
For half the race before he's
best the rest, in qualifying.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's just so many options. Hulkenberg just finished seventh.
Yeah.
Could have been third in a Haas. Magnussen was actually doing all right before he binned it as well.
But that kind of backs your theory where you were saying the rest are just there.
Free for all.
Yeah. But exactly. So.
I think it shows as well, in F1, it's harder. It's easy to go from like 10th, easier to go from 10th to 5th. Right,
Like Aston Martin.
But that gap from like to get to the front. Like the gap for Mercedes to get from like there, from where they are as, let's say, second or third fastest team to first, especially if that gap is like a second a lap, true pace.
Well, I think part of it's like law of diminishing returns.
Yeah, right, exactly, right. You could
you've like, got more you could, to gain at the lower.
Yeah, you've got more to, exactly that. Thank you, Tomo. So like, I think you're that's welcome. What we're, I think that's what we're seeing with the regs is that we do have a very close midfield. Remember, like qualifying yesterday, there was like tenths of a second between like
until Max has lost.
Yeah.
People were going out in Q1 in 19th by like a tenth.
Yeah, no, it's like what? Crazy.
It's like esports.
It's crazy. Yeah. So the regs are doing its job up to a point. I think you were saying let's give them some time.
Yeah, I think we need to give it to the end of this year.
Let's give it to the end of the year. Does the aero, does the development time make a difference in people being able to converge at the front end of the grid as well as the back end? Because that's really what it's about.
Yeah.
And then we'll see. If it doesn't, then maybe we have to increase the development time scales.
The range. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And like, but you know, those are the things that they can do.
Because look, at the end of the day, right? Red Bull have this amazing car. They've got a great. Their foundation is solid.
Mm.
Now the onus is on the other 9 teams to use their increased aero and all that.
It's like a blueprint.
Like it's their responsibility to now catch up. It's on them. You can't like mandate it in the rules. Otherwise, well, what's the point of having this whole technical aspect? Like you're giving these teams a degree of advantage. Yes, Red Bull have the historical kind of, you know, the facilities and all that, right? That's not in the cost. Exactly.
I said we don't have the capacity. I'm sorry.
We don't have the capacity.
We don't.
That's what you said. And I was like, hang on, did you say that?
Sorry.
But no, because it's like, it's on the other teams to make the most of it. Just because you get lots of aero time doesn't guarantee, you're going to be able to. I mean, Williams have had more than Aston Martin for a good couple of seasons in a row. Mm. But Aston Martin are the one who've taken a massive jump up, even relative to like they're clear of Ferrari. This time last year, you had Vettel spinning and just binning it, and you had Stroll and Latifi crashing into each other in practice in Australia. Yeah. Aston Martin had a shocker this time.
That was the level. That was actually the level.
It's like you were saying in the live stream, Aston Martin have like exposed like a lot of teams.
They have.
I think Alpine and McLaren.
There's no
especially.
Hiding now.
What's your excuse? Yeah, if you're McLaren, you actually don't have an excuse now because Aston Martin have literally gone from being like ninth best on the grid to just like we're probably second now.
Mm. Can we also talk a bit about Checo because he obviously had a stinker in practice
and quali.
Then that extended to quali, the stinkiness.
Yeah,
made progress P5 in that car. All things considered, obviously multiple red flags.
Yeah, where was he before the flags? Was he in the points?
He got past Hülkenberg, didn't he? He got past before Magnussen.
So he gained from Gasly going out, and he was ahead of.
So he gained
from Gasly and he gained from Sainz.
He got past Norris and
Hülkenberg. He was in eighth. Is that ninth?
Ninth.
So that's ninth, and then there's a second. So that's
then he got up, then he got up to seventh because he got past Norris and Hülkenberg.
Yeah, quite quickly.
So he was up to seventh. He was seventh. But he gained from Sainz penalty and Gasly's retirement.
I just find it weird because it's weird how stuff changes so quick in F1 because, you know, like first race you're like fucking hell, he looks like he's on his money here.
Yeah.
And then now you're just like
one bad week and
he's lost his confidence.
But like I think you said it before, like this is what it was like with Valtteri Bottas, like as a Mercedes fan.
Yeah.
You know, Valtteri Bottas would win Australia. I think there was one time, you know how F1 runs on narrative. There was one time Valtteri Bottas turned up with a beard. Not even a beard, stubble. It turned out with stubble. And they were like, oh, Valtteri 2.0, Valtteri 2.0.
Yeah.
And then
he's eating his porridge this morning.
Yeah, exactly. And then he fluked a race win. And then he was like, so everyone, what they're like, whatever. And they're like, oh, Valtteri 2.0, he's going to take the fight to Lewis. And then Lewis started dunking, like, Ned and Michael Jordan memes. So he was like, and I took that personally. Fuck them kids. Fuck you up. Mullet, fucking beard. Like, but it was just, he literally dunk like 20 seconds on him, 20 seconds on him. And like, I feel like that's what happens with like Checo and Max, where Checo will, if it's a boxing match, 12 rounds, Checo will get some jabs in. There might be some times where Checo might rock Max, but over 12 rounds, Max will comfortably beat Checo. And it was the same with Lewis
and Bottas. The evidence is pretty clear. Like you look at they've had two full seasons together. You look at the average qualifying deficit, and it's between 4 and 5 tenths, which is like significant.
But he also has played his role at certain points. Yeah. What I think, like, to just defend him, I think he has helped Max out, like last season, like a couple of times.
He 21,
he's a great. Yeah. He's really good at that role.
That's his role, and I think that's what I used to like. We used to go at Bottas. You've been on our podcast, and we got at Bottas like a lot. I think you were actually on after Mexico 21.
Bottas just didn't defend.
Where we were like, you know, we were in the middle of a title fight. We had a Mercedes front row, first and second, and Bottas has Max behind him. And he's so concerned with beating Lewis off the line, he kind of moves across and tries to block Lewis out, and he just lets Max go around the outside.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And that was the episode where we called him our stepson. And like, it's literally, I say we, Tandy. So like, direct the hater. So like, even in that point, that was the difference between, I think, Lewis winning and losing the title was.
You look back to all those little incidents, and that's like, one of those examples.
Like Bottas in Imola was in 10th, crashing with George Russell. Is it in Russia? Where he was like, no, Verstappen was behind him on his way through to 32nd, and he couldn't keep him behind him. Mm. You know, Mexico, I think there was that time in Spain where he held him up and they were like, Valtteri, let Lewis pass. And he was like, oh, I was just having some fun. And they were just like,
but we're not having fun.
We're not having fun here, bro. Like, it's serious. And I think Checo was much more in that role of second driver, I'm going to support the team. I think it was his first season there.
Yeah.
But like now, he kind of cemented that role and everyone was happy with that. But now it's just those two. It's very difficult for him to step outside of that and become like a championship.
And of course,
like
Checo wants to win. He knows he's in the best team right now in F1. This is the shot he's going to get, right? So he's entitled to. But obviously, we talked about in the stream, like what a team wants that's at the front is a driver who's going to get maximum points. They're not going to take points away from each other because then that allows potentially someone else to come through and take a driver championship. Because as much as the teams say the constructors means a lot to them, and sure it does because it's a bit more money in the bank, but for legacy, no one remembers that Ferrari won the 2008 constructors.
Yeah,
everyone remembers that Lewis won it on the last lap passing Timo Glock. So it's like, I think that Perez is entitled to back himself and go for what he wants, but long term, and I think part of the reason maybe Mercedes felt like they just couldn't hold George off any longer from that seat, but I think maybe Valtteri knew that and was just like, you know what, fuck it, I'm not going to be as much of a team player as I used to be. I'm going to try and I mean, bloody hell, I remember Catalunya when he just did the most half-assed defence against Lewis.
Yeah,
I think that's when Toto realised, like, okay.
Was it Baku when he got absolutely battered through the midfield in a Mercedes? I'm like, he dropped four places in one lap. I was that, like, that made me fear for him going alpha. I was like, you cannot fight in the midfield, mate, at all.
I said the same thing. Like, that first half of the season in 2021 genuinely was some of the worst driving
respectfully,
he did have some shock.
Respectfully, so
he did. You're right, he did. that's the thing. I think certain drivers are there's a mentality that comes from certain drivers, and I think it's a rare breed. Mm. It's not just having the skills. It's having that absolute, like, I think, you know, we've seen Valtteri come out of his skin now. He's gone to Alfa Romeo. And I think that's a better fit for him as a character from the character that I'm seeing. There's other drivers like Max, like Lewis, who they get to the top for a reason. And it's not just about skill. Like, I'm sure we've all played against, you know, kids kicking about playing football who've got the technical ability but just lose their head all the time. You need to have the full package, right? Yeah.
So do you think there's a better suited team for Sergio then?
I think Sergio's got I feel like Sergio's got more of that dog in him than Valtteri did, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
not hard.
But I just don't. I just don't think, you know. And it's not a gripe on Sergio. I just think Max is that kind of generational talent that we don't see very often.
Max hounded Ricardo out.
Mm. Yeah, man.
And like
Ricardo was serious. Ricardo beat Vettel.
Everyone's gangster.
They
a real gangster.
Yeah, facts. Yeah, yeah.
So, but no, that's the thing. Like, you're really right. Like, you know, in 2018, when after the Monaco Grand Prix,
yeah,
like the people who had won a race in 2018 were like Daniel Ricciardo, Sebastian Vettel, and Lewis Hamilton. They all had two race wins each, and at that point, Daniel Ricciardo's stock could not have been higher.
No.
And for him, at that point, to make a decision to say, I'm literally like beating Max Verstappen in this team right now, but I still don't feel like it's my team. I need to go somewhere else. I think it shows like the levels, like he knew what was coming.
Mm.
Like, and Sergio, you know, in answer to your question, like what's the best team for Sergio? Where he was before they turfed him out for Vettel was the best place.
Yeah, racing like, point.
Yeah. Like, honestly, at the time I said like that is, like, respectfully, that I thought that was a mad decision. Like, because I could tell Vettel was on the way out. Just even like
such a short term decision.
Yeah, from like a motivational point of view, like Vettel's not gonna wanna build a team up. He doesn't wanna build a team up. He was getting sick of Ferrari. If you wanna take him to Aston Martin, you guys are nowhere near winning a title yet.
Mm.
Like Sergio will get the max out of a bad car or a midfield car. Anytime there's an opportunity to get like podiums, I think people contrast his and Hülkenberg's career where he can get a podium. Like if it's there, he'll get it. Whereas Hülkenberg, for some reason or another, just has the worst luck in the world.
I think in that instance, I don't think Vettel did any better a job than Checo would have done, because Checo's stock in 2020, we won a race.
Yeah, yeah.
He was phenomenal. He was unreal that year. Him and Ricciardo was sick.
Nuts. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the racing point of the Renault.
Yeah. I'd say he was better than Ricciardo.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He was literally driver of the season, if we're going to be totally real. Like. Yeah.
And then he lost his seat. But I think, you know, in the marquee of a four-time world champion, like, I get that side of it. And, you know, to justify getting rid of Sergio was incredibly harsh. And look, I'll be the first to say, like, he deserved that Red Bull seat over Albon. For real. You know, Albon had had a stinker. Like,
yeah.
And Perez had had the... He was number one driver. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Alex didn't do enough to merit keeping that seat. And if I was Red Bull in charge, I would have made the same decision. Mm. Like, for real. Because of course you would. Like, you've got someone who's had 2 years, and you've got Perez with this catalogue of history and experience has just come off a worldy season. That's the exact driver you want. And he did the exact job that they needed in 2021. And look,
he still won a race this year.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you know, if it wasn't for...
But Checo's another...
This weekend.
Checo's never won a race in a Red Bull when there hasn't been some kind of issue for Max.
Facts, yeah.
So that's just the truth.
Yeah.
Like, true. That is just the truth.
But also, he can't help that something happened to Max that made him win.
There's also races that he's lost through, like, no fault of his own, that he actually, like...
Well, Saudi Arabia was the closest one, wasn't it?
Last year, he would have won on merit. But he got stiff.
That's the one time I felt like, on pace, he has had the advantage.
Yeah.
That's the one time in three seasons to get, like, two and a bit
two,
seasons.
Two and a bit seasons.
Yeah. I agree. I think, like, obviously, Max is just...
Two and a bit seasons?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
2021, 22, and then a little bit of 2023.
Fucking hell. Magic.
Time flies when you're in the dizzies and coats.
Feels like two seasons has gone by today, mate, honestly. We started the show in 2021.
Yeah.
Again, look, as things stand, it's all right for Red Bull. Like, there's no... Checo's doing... good enough job, like no sweat there. I think if it gets more competitive up the front, that's when the dynamics change potentially, right?
Get Albon back in.
But look, yeah. I mean,
do it.
Do you see a situation? I think he extended his contract last season, right?
Yeah, his contract's till the end of next year.
Next year, right? Yeah. So, I mean, I don't see a situation this. I mean, potentially this season. Who knows? But I guess, do you see a situation where they do swap him out? I feel like what F1 does is they get bored of certain people in
I agree.
And they want to just like, oh, is his seat safe?
I think they pick like a target, don't they?
Yeah, Bottas was a target for a bit. Albon was a target. Gasly was a target. I think Checo's. I think anyone in that Red Bull second seat is basically like a target.
Everyone gets bored.
Speculation.
So everyone
man.
Goes, oh, you know right. what? Would be yeah. mad if we had Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
going to be totally real with you. Daniel Ricciardo does not do a better job than Sergio Perez for yeah. me in that car. Probably like a similar job, but like not to the degree where I'm going to go, oh yeah, flipping heck. Nah, this is crazy.
It's a risk, isn't it?
Yeah, I just.
It is a risk.
Sergio
yeah.
Perez is doing a more than good enough job.
Look,
to keep the seat. You don't need to change it if you're Red Bull.
Let me tell you now. If you, man, paid £20 million a year to someone, oh, I can't believe we're doing this. But if you paid £20 million a year to someone and they drove your car and they just could not get to grips with your car, no matter what you did for them, they couldn't get to grips with your car. They were literally like one of the biggest differentials between teammates on the grid,
yeah.
despite everything you've done for them over 2 years, why would you, as another team, with those wage demands, think, you know what, I'm going to take a chance on him?
It's a question, yeah.
Because, like, what if he doesn't work in my fucking car? Like, what's to say he doesn't like the way that this car drives? Mm. Like, he's...
if Daniel wants to get back on the grid, he needs to be able to go to other teams. And he said he's been quoted like this weekend.
He doesn't want to do it.
He's not going to go to like a midfield, lower midfield team. Like he wants to go to a top team, right? He needs to be able to guarantee that they're going to get a Red Bull / Renault version of Ricciardo,
yeah.
which I believe still exists in the right hardwood. Give him the right car.
Yeah, for sure.
That's right. But it's a risk for
he's not
reason.
Disappeared.
But when you
compare to like other drivers. Like so many other drivers who consistently, Nico Hülkenberg's an example. He's never had like a stinker. Like he's always been like good at good levels, good solid
he's,
levels.
He's off Broadwatch a lot.
And yes, he's been like lower midfield teams, whatever, right? But he's and like Alonso's a very good example.
Yeah.
Every car he's driven, whether it's a top car or a bottom car, he's got the maximum amount.
Look at Sainz.
There's confidence that you have. Yeah.
Like, I'll be honest, Sainz has not had a bad season. Even last season, he brought it back.
Yeah, he brought it back.
Yeah, end of last season.
He was getting peppered first half of the season, but second half, he actually brought it back.
But when Albon was out, he was doing Excel spreadsheets, walking around the... Like, he literally was. Like, yeah. like showing his yeah, differential yeah. like yeah. differential relative to Perez and Gasly and being like, blah, 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 and then managed to get in with Williams.
Yeah.
And he was able to, like, you know, go past all of the noise, which there's a lot of noise. Of course there was, because Verstappen had absolutely wiped the floor with him.
Yeah.
Mm. But actually be like, right, if you're signing a driver, your points tell part of the story, but they don't tell the whole story. And you want to understand the nuance. You don't want to miss out on this worldy driver just because, you know, the papers have printed them to be terrible because they've been destroyed by the teammate. But then you put them in a different circumstance and they flourish. And I think that's what Albon's been able to do with Williams.
Can I ask a completely random question which has got nothing to do with what we're discussing?
Absolutely.
How much time we got? Have we got enough time?
Yeah, we've got time.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, cool. The decision from Mercedes to pit Russell from the lead.
Yeah, that's a good question.
If you're the Mercedes... I'm so used to blaming James Vowles that I can't blame him anymore for everything that happens as bad. So the decision to pit Russell from the lead... Obviously, it doesn't matter now. And I think he said that it was the right thing to do. We don't know whether he's just towing party line, but given the pace of Verstappen and what was happening, do you think it was the right decision?
Depends what you think Mercedes were aiming for.
If you think
they were aiming for the win, then arguably not. But then it's so easy to go if and buts because at the end of the day, none of us thought that would be a red flag.
Yeah, you know
when you saw that Albon incident, you were like, "That's a safety car."
Yeah.
Not one person thought that's a red flag, mate. That's some, massive. Yeah, you know what I mean? Away.
In the past, where we've had this, where they've yellowed and they've safety card it first, and then they've red flagged it.
But you can tell
like, when it's destroyed the tech pro Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
It's
the car's in off.
Oh, well, you know they're going to red flag because you know from a safety point of view they have to. Now it didn't look. Yeah, it was one of them that on the eye test.
Yeah,
yeah.
So then it comes to like we have to look at it in the moment. Is it worth?
And pitting under a safety car is usually a good idea.
Good decision.
I can't get on them too much for that because it's like they kind of split the strategy as well.
Yeah,
somewhat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's the power that you do have by having two cars in front. So
I think it played it technically well.
Pit to cover off.
Yeah. And if neither of them pit, then Verstappen does pit and it doesn't get red flagged, you go, why the fuck did they not pit?
Yeah.
What lap was that? Was it lap 8? Was it?
I think it's the lap that they're showing on the TV now. I think it was 7 or 8.
We've got the replay on the screens behind the cameras, and we're about to see some Albon pain.
It was either 7 or 8. I think, yeah, it's this one.
Oh, there he goes, down to P7 and P8. It's just happened. Lovely.
Because when they pitted them, memories. We all went, that's the race kind of being shut on now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of knew.
Well, the thing is, because it was like a double.
That barrier isn't that bad.
There's a little dent in it.
Yeah. At no point, I literally was like, oh yeah, safety car.
Is that why they red flagged?
Yeah, the barrier was.
But also, I guess debris. It's difficult to account how much.
Australia, it's a tight street circuit as well.
That's why it's certain things like that, like the amount of debris on track, like the drivers. I know, like, after the Alpine shunted, Lewis was on the radio saying there's, like, tons of data.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, okay, neutralise the race. If you're going to get it... Because after Albon's crash, you had the big, heavy machinery thing come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of them that...
Well, Russell and Hamilton didn't go past that debris either, so they couldn't even go, oh, yeah, there's bear... Like, they just came in.
Yeah.
They didn't even see the accident happen. They just saw the safety car.
It's the free tyre change. That's the thing, isn't it?
But what do we think? Chain. Like, should... Because it's one of those where it's like, it's just a luck of sport, whatever. But I do feel like it's a little bit...
I feel like it changes races too much
when someone can just go, oh, yeah, under red flag, boom, just slap new tyres on. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Look, I said it in the VOD, and I'll say it again. Like, it is ridiculous that you can come into the pit lane. I don't mind it. Look, if your car needs to change or if you have a puncture, fine. Like, fix your car to the point where you're able to legally drive again.
Yeah, fact.
That's fine. But for you to essentially get a free pit stop under a red flag, and especially if they do red flags like this, where you've gone for 2 or 3 laps. I mean, that's pretty much how, like, Gasly won Monza. Is it Gasly?
There's another. That's how Stroll got on the podium.
I think, because Lando Norris missed out on that at that point, because he was like, whoa, we're just going to fucking change our tyres now. Like, you can't gain an advantage and be able to, like, essentially neutralise the whole grid. Like, you should... Essentially, what's dangerous, though, is, like, can you do a start on old, cold tyres, basically? Like, what's the safety aspect to that?
Yeah, there's...
Like, but if that's the case, then let's just do rolling starts. Mm. Like, we don't have to do it from a standing start. If people are on different tyres, do a rolling start. For me, like, if you should be able to, if I come into the pit and change my tyres, I'm aware that I'm going to get a place deficit, but at least I've got a grip advantage. Yeah. I shouldn't be able to have a place advantage and a grip advantage. Pointless.
Yeah, I think when there's a red flag, rolling start on the stay on your tyres, that makes the most sense, because a red flag should be a pause in the race.
Yes.
You're taking the race and you're going pause, right?
Yeah, you're not really cars away. You're not starting it again.
Yeah,
and then everyone gets back in their position.
Oh, yeah.
And then, everyone's a bit closer, but like you're always more likely to make overtakes on a standing start than a rolling start.
Yeah.
So then that, for me, is the most fair and equitable way of doing it. You just do a roll. Don't get me wrong, right? Yeah, it would be like, it's nice when you got a red flag and they do a standing restart.
No, it is.
Because it's exciting.
Yeah.
But in terms of just the fairest, most sporting way, for me, that's the way. Rolling start, red flag, same tyres. No one can change. That's not fair. I'll tell you what, we forget how close Hulkenberg was.
That was
collecting albums.
That was new underwear territory.
And like, you know when people say, like, F1's not a real sport, it's just people going round in circles. It's like, you have no idea how dangerous this is.
I'll be honest, Gasly could not even see.
Yeah,
he just drove through the cloud and hoped for the best. Literally. Like, he could, like, at least Hulkenberg was like, he dodged a bit. I feel like Gasly just could not see anything when he went through that incident. But
I'm not going to lie,
in the veins.
I just want to say one thing right now,
Fucking Alfa.
Alonso, you talked a lot of smack this weekend, bro.
Here we go.
Will you not be on piss? Like, I'm watching the highlights back. Not one restart. lot did you bother a man. Not one, like, nope. race period was anyone worried about you. You're worried about man in a normal car. Well, the guy in a normal car out-qualified you and outdone you easily.
Tell him again.
He out-qualified you and outdone you easily.
Respectfully.
Shout out Kylie Minogue. So, like, I just, like, honestly, I feel like, honestly... Don't get gassed, bro. We've all had, like, fast cars before, yeah? We've all been in a situation... No, not me personally. Yeah, fast car I've had is a Golf Mark II. But all I will say is, you know, don't... You know, it's been two races, yeah?
Three.
And he's got... Well, now it's three, but yeah... It wasn't even before the third race that he was getting very gassed,
yeah, no.
saying a lot, like, you know, I'm better than Vettel. Vettel wouldn't get this fast in the car. Lewis is in a normal car. Look how rubbish he's doing now. Like, I said at the beginning of the season.
Is this you backing Vettel? God,
that's how low Alonso's gone now. That I will literally. I had a Vettel fan come in my mentions today, and I was like, you know what?
Vettel vendetta.
I'm gonna allow it. Yeah. I'm gonna allow it. You know what? That's fine. Do you know what I mean?
Like, you shouldn't even really be here anymore, but I'll allow it.
Look, respectfully. Yeah. So, I just find it, like, I think this. If this is indicative, and obviously it's the third race of the season, but I always said that Aston Martin would kind of like Force India at the time. They would be able to have a fast car at the start and they might drop down. Not drop down, but like their relative ability to be able to develop over the course of the season won't be as strong as someone like Mercedes, like Red Bull.
They're not used to it, I guess, but they will have more wind tunnel time.
They've got this wind tunnel time until the end of June.
So we'll see.
And then it resets, so then they won't have that advantage, as much of an advantage.
Yeah,
they need to make the most of between now and the end of June to develop the shit out of this car, so that they can actually... take it to Red Bull. That's our only hope for like a multi-team championship.
Yeah, I think they've done really well to get to where they are. And I think, you know, I think expecting them to be the second fastest team throughout the course of the season is expecting like almost a miracle.
Yeah, like, but I think they're perfectly placed to do it.
They are in theory, but I think in practicality, I don't think they'll be able to do it. But like purely because it's a big step to go. Like, I just...
Well, okay, before we round out the podcast, what all four of us would say, for there to be a challenge to Max in the Red Bull, what is the most likely source of that challenge? Is it Fernando Aston Martin? Is it Perez Red Bull? Is it... What are we saying, if anything? Because it doesn't seem very likely. It seems this is going to be a Max Red Bull championship comfortably, but... Yeah. What's the most likely thing to challenge? Because for me, it is Fernando and it is Aston Martin. I think that's more...
That's more likely than Perez in the same car.
Agree, yes.
You think?
Yeah. That's what I think.
By the way, that overtake is...
By the way, Sergio Perez, if you're watching, I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't have that.
You know, I think that's the more likely...
I think Alonso probably is... If we're talking about other teams, it's probably the most likely. But I'm seeing Lewis improve. You know, I don't know if he'll
Lewis and Mercedes maybe improve a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't know if he'll.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying the most likely challenge if it was to happen. Because stranger things have happened.
For me, it's still got to be Sergio just because of the actual distance that Red Bull have over everyone else. Like, even for Alonso and Aston Martin's challenge, they have got to recoup so much time this season.
Yeah.
Like, I think they are best placed to do it out of the other teams. Don't get it twisted. I actually think they will finish second in the Constructors if Stroll, like, actually gets some consistency as well. But they are so far clear that I don't see how Perez can't be the
key. Do you genuinely believe Perez could even mount a challenge?
No, I don't. But I don't think anyone can, and that's the thing. Yeah. I think he will.
Alonso's only 9 points behind Checo.
Oh, titty.
Look, let me tell you now,
I'm just saying.
When you've got a man like Jos Verstappen sticking the sawdust in Checo's car,
allegedly,
respectfully. Like, it's...
That's like when someone says, like, no offence, but...
Yeah, no
offence, but... No offence.
Like, you're a bit of a prick, innit? But, like, it's just like... But I think it's one of those situations where... Do we genuinely believe... I know we're saying Checo's in the same car, but do we genuinely believe that those two in that team have a genuinely same shot at winning the title? And probably not. to be honest, because that Red Bull is geared to all. That is geared. Oh, they've launched a protest. So, like, that Red Bull is geared towards Max Verstappen, and their driving styles are dissimilar enough for that to hurt Checo to the point where no matter how fast he thinks he's never going to be as fast in that car.
Verstappen is just quicker.
He's quicker, well, right? And like, let's look. I hate Max Verstappen.
No.
100%.
No way.
Like, what? Look, what? This is groundbreaking and brand new information.
No, and when I say hate, I think people think I'm like, I literally want to like, like, it's not like that.
Isn't that song?
It's more like a sport.
I don't believe that. Yeah,
no, I hate Tottenham.
I think you love him deep down. I think
Verstappen.
Yeah, I think
you know what?
Secretly,
yeah, I love Ice Age, and Sid's my favorite character. So
That's all you love.
That's what I love. So like for me, all I'm saying is like Verstappen. I will stand here and say Verstappen is on his way to being like top three of all time. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to be in the Schumi Lewis Verstappen
trajectory. Like, that's the direction.
What we're looking at now, 2026, the regs change. If this carries on the way it is until 2025, like, we're looking at someone who's going to surpass Vettel, he's going to surpass Prost, he's going to surpass all of those guys.
Yeah, could have five titles.
Like, it's like, he is going to be like the third best driver statistically, whatever you think about, like, whatever. So for Checo to be on that level, it's almost an impossible ask. So I do get it when you say like the next best challenger is whoever's quicker in the next quickest car. The problem is that car is so quick.
Yeah,
it's too quick. Mm. And for us to, whether it's Alonso, look, we're talking about Alonso, one of the most naturally gifted drivers ever. Mm-hmm. We talk about Lewis Hamilton, statistically the greatest driver of all time. If you do not have the car, you can't do shit.
Yeah,
and that's where we are at the moment.
Facts.
And until then, it's just not gonna change.
Factos.
That's it. And you know what? This is what I love, because we get different people. Some people love Max, some people hate him, some people love Lewis.
I don't hate Max. I mean, I do.
Well, I mean, we literally
roll the cliff.
You can put it on.
That's the Disney talking.
But you know, that's sport. That's fandom. We love some characters. We hate others.
And it's hate in a pantomime way. Like,
you don't
want to kill them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just like,
it's like when you like hate like certain football teams.
Yeah, like, I hate them.
I'm not going to like go and like Molotov.
Like, do you mean? I live in Tottenham as an Arsenal fan. I'm not just outside the stadium like, I don't believe like doing, like, it's fine.
It's not that deep.
It's not that deep.
Sporting hate's different.
Sporting hate is fine, but I do hate
that. I get that. But all right, boys, should we wrap it then? It's been just over an hour. I think we've all done well to hold on.
I think we've done well.
I went through this morning.
I cannot believe there is like actual product to put out.
It's mad.
Like,
the product's good.
We smashed it. We're not gonna lie. Pure stuff.
Cam, where can the listeners find you? Because we tried to get you to upsell yourself at the end of the
live
stream.
You've got a second win now.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Just type in Cam Kirkham on YouTube, and then TMI on Spotify.
Way.
So if you have free time.
Big pod.
Big pods.
Big pod.
Yeah,
big numbers.
That's doing great.
Decent. And Yasha, what about you?
You can find me at Quickstop F1, which I do with Tandy, on everything, Twitter, Insta, TikTok, YouTube. And if you want merch like this, which is not out yet, you can go to quickstopf1.com.
Sample, baby.
Just the sample. Team LH for life.
Yeah.
Look at the quality.
You dropped the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm the cult leader. I'm like, I'm handing out the Dizzy and Kool-Aid.
And Niren, where can they find us? I mean, you're already listening, so.
Well, ladies
and
gentlemen,
you should have already found us.
Audio only platforms, give us a 5-star rating on Spotify. Come on. If you're watching on YouTube, like and subscribe. You guys know the score by now. You can also find us.
HelloFresh.
On HelloFresh.com.
Yep. Yes. Delivered to your door.
Yeah. No, we audio. No, we'll deliver the audio flat. To your door.
Oh, right.
So the audio is there. Literally. You open the box.
There's a little USB in there.
Right. There's rice and there's USB stick in there as well. It's crazy.
I love that.
That's
a marketing plan.
Offline.
Yeah. We're on a Ocado as well for those like higher echelon.
Yeah. You know what? If I do
the Klarna.
I'll do the food. You do the USB.
We'll just slap the USB in there when you don't realise. But
dreaming.
Ladies and gentlemen, good stuff.
Like and subscribe on YouTube, and we will see you next week for the off week podcast.
Indeed.
We'll have to find something to talk about for that.
We will.
Well, hopefully this little break will bring some news.
Yes, I'm sure it will.
News would be great. Andretti entry. Come on. Makes sense.
Right. See you later. All right. Peace and love.
Cheerio.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.